The Sundance Film Festival wrapped up its 2018 edition with buyers and sellers anxiously circling each other to find more of those good little indie films that seem to dominate the film conversation each year. The stories at Sundance 18 were sometimes solid, sometimes a little too small, and sometimes just right. Our film critic Harlan Jacobson reports from Park City, Utah.
Crystal Mozell's Skate Kitchen is almost the perfect Sundance film. First, it's written, produced, and directed by a woman. One of some 45 features at Sundance directed by women this year, of the 120 spread out over 9 main sections, including U.S. and foreign feature and documentary competitions. Second, its characters and milieu are quintessentially young, mostly broke, and minority-born. Third, it's proudly no budget. Its central character, Camille, is an 18-year-old white Hispanic suburban girl who's outgrown her single-parent mom, leaves her modest Long Island home, and heads to New York City. Sound like Lady Bird, anyone? Nope. This one heads with her skateboard to find her way. Camille streams in at a Manhattan skate park, first with a pack of girl skaters, including 2 black girls and a working-class white lesbian who wears her baseball cap backwards, of course, and acts like a plumber who talks like a wrench. In the overall scheme of things, Crystal doesn't know where she fits and what glide path to take among the confusing ones littered with obstacles on her way towards her American future. Girl skateboarding is by itself a social statement in the young, predominantly male skateboarding milieu, as the gender packs stay separate until Camille cuts a sisterhood boundary and crosses over to skate with the boys. That's a big deal. It's both a victory and a betrayal. But it's not where Crystal's adolescent investigation ends. Skate Kitchen's dialogue is streetwise, imagistic, and so hot current it couldn't have been scripted. You're there in the pack, carving turns around Manhattan's crosstown corners, taking bumps, slopes, curbs, and rails, riding among the fresh beauty of faces who still believe in the future, their pretty bodies arcing out over the edge of their boards. What's amazing, if unconscious, and probably accidental, about Skate Kitchen is that it's the de facto great-granddaughter of Downhill Racer, the 1969 Michael Ritchie film in which the then 32-year-old Robert Redford played an interloper who crashed his way onto the U.S. Olympic ski team. With very little dialogue and lots of boot-level skiing, that film served notice on officialdom that the post-war generation, for whom merit and truth replaced conformist imagery, had arrived. Downhill Racer set Redford up for stardom. The paycheck, meager by what they would later become, gave him just enough bucks to buy a mountain in Utah, stealing it away from a higher corporate bidder in exchange for a personal concession Redford made to the owner. This is so Redford. Lifetime rights to stay put. Redford turned the rock into Sundance, and now at 82, moving stiffly, reciting a script he knows by heart about the evolution of Sundance and the independent film spirit, he still shows up at the festival in a glistening black leather motorcycle jacket and faded skinny jeans with a full head of tousled, improbably blonde hair. There were plenty of introverted, fundamentally voyeuristic characters watching their small planets break apart in the films here at Sundance this year. Many of them, of course, don't look like white boys. Rochelle Vinberg's compelling Camille is only one. On the exact opposite end of the American spectrum is actor Paul Dano's directorial debut film, Wildlife, adapted by Dano with Zoe Kazan from Richard Ford's 1990 novel. Set in 1960 in Great Falls, Montana, Dano shot for only 4 days in the state, shooting the rest in Oklahoma, the story is told from the point of view of its central character, Joe Brinson, a 14-year-old boy watching the marriage of his parents, played by Carey Mulligan and Jake Gyllenhaal, crash over the old-school rocks of money and moxie. Joe's dad is a country club golf pro with an easy swing and an even easier smile who gets the boot at work over what amounts to a trifle that's a stand-in for class privilege. Dano captures the despair of Ford's novel, often overlooked in Ford's canon of sports and money guys in his Frank Bascom novels, perhaps because its major character is a forest fire eating the landscape 40 miles away. What about this fire concerns you, America, is the question in Ford's novel, and Dano's film watches young actor Ed Oxenbould as Joe, often silent, just over there by the kitchen door, a working-class white rabbit of a kid, pale eyes and hair, watching the impossible post-war American dream turn to ashes, a theme that runs through U.S. fiction for decades. Skate Kitchen is the sort of Sundance film that could have won a prize had it been set in the competition, but instead was slated for the next section, comprised of films that look and feel like they were made on skateboards. Maybe it's the product of Sundance, now in its mid-30s, no longer being a kid. Maybe it's just a vintage year in which a vein of classicism runs through the selection. The tumult in the U.S. and the world is apparent, but the films on display here in Park City seem more measured this year, more structured and reality-based, not as in the reality TV show brain of President Tweet, but as in stories rooted in biographies, close-to-the-bone fiction like Ford's, rooted in childhood, news events, and the social and political issues that take turns generating headlines and those damn tweets. And I'm Harlan Jacobson in Park City.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling, so I